All right, Rabbi, good morning. Let's begin. Our share this morning is dedicated by Yonason and Rachel Wolf of Highland Park, New Jersey, in loving memory of Rachel's mother, Chaya Bas Moshe Zichron Livracha. We hope to know the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an Aliyah, and the family in Nechama. All of our learning is dedicated this month by Bennett Goldberg in memory of his parents, Avram Ben Asher Pinchas, Fager Ezel Bas Zelig, and in the hopes that all of the suburban mishpacha had their tefillos answered over the Yamim Noroi. All right, Tabose, with that, let us begin. So we are picking up Emir Hashem. Today's daf is Chaf Vav, and we are picking up Emir Hashem on the bottom of Chaf Hei Amud Beis, four lines up from the bottom. So the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, Chai V'Hashem was Teluyim. So the Gemara says, Minhani Mili. So remember again, Abosai, the Mishnah says over here that Halacha Lamaisa. Yes. So Halacha Lamaisa, that Yom Kippur is able to wipe out any Asham Talui liability. Right, so remember again, we saw the distinction already in yesterday. Well, we saw it actually already in yesterday's daf. This distinction between Shabbos and Yom Kippur vis-a-vis Asham Talui versus, again, definitive obligation. Yom Kippur is able to go ahead and wipe out, or I should say, be mechaper for Asham Talui obligation. But at the end of the day, if a person has a definitive karbanic obligation, that remains even in the aftermath of Yom Kippur. So the Gemara also says, we saw a number of different things, but let's begin. Says the Gemara, Chai v'Hashem Ustoli, Minhani Mili, so where do we know this from? Amr Belazar, Amr Kra, Mikol Chato Seichem Lifnei Hashem. So the Pasuk Rabbah said, the Gemara is referencing over here, which we're going to spend a lot of time on today, is Ki b'yom hazeh yichaper aleichem letar eschem, Mikol Chato Seichem Lifnei Hashem Titaru. Because on this day, it will atone for you to purify you from all of your sins. Before Hashem, you shall be purified. So says the Gemara, Chet She'in Makir Bo Ela Hamakom Yom HaKippur Mechaper. What type of sin is Yom Kippur Mechaper for? Only the type of sin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows and no one else knows about. I've also said, is there actually a very interesting verbiage? So the Lashon over here is, Mikol Chatoseichem Lifnei Hashem Titaru. What type of chatam does Yom Kippur absolve for? The type of averos only known by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, i.e. only known by God, not known by me. What does it mean, an avera that's only known by God, not known by me? So the Gemara is assuming over here, what is that? Anything for which you would bring an Asham Talui. Because we'll say, think about this in just a moment. If I have to bring an Asham Talui, what does that mean? That means that Halacha Lamaisa, I don't know what I did wrong. Or I don't know if I did something wrong. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, that's the type of avera that Yom Kippur takes care of. Amrav Tachlifa, Avod Rafun Bar Tachlifa Mishrei, Derava Kadmaisa, Nami Lo Tisi. So look at Rashi. Kamaisa Nami, Techai Vichatos Hashamos Vadon, Techayov and Lahavi Achri Yom Kippurim. So type of Chavav. Lemifshite lo midravdimi velo midabaye elameha. So Rabbi say comes along Rav Tachlifa, and he says the earlier statement, namely that Yom Kippur does not take care of definitive karbanic obligation, could also be extrapolated. Elameha chait shein makibo elahamakom Yom Kippur mechaper. It is only a sin that a person doesn't recognize that Yom Kippur, that a person doesn't know about that Yom Kippur is mechaper for. Umine, and we could extrapolate from that. Chait shein makir bo ela makom udiyom kippur mechaper. Aval diyada ba lo mechaper. It is only a chait that the person doesn't know about that Yom Kippur is mechaper for, but a chait that the person does know about, i.e., a chait for which there is definitive karbanic liability and knowledge, that Yom Kippur is not mechaper for. So both say, so the drasha the Gemara is going to rely heavily on is this phrase of Mikol Chatoseichem Lifnei Hashem Titharu. What are you? What does Yom Kippur take care of? Averos that you don't know about. Averos only known by God. But averos that are known by you. Now, men, remember, we're referring over here very specifically in a karbanic liability sense. So karbanos that you know about, i.e. karbanos that you know that you are obligated, a karban, right? An asham, a chatos, whatever it might be, that Yom Kippur does not take care of. Averos that you don't know if you committed or not, i.e. anything for which you would bring in Asham Talui, Yom Kippur takes care. Yom Kippur absolves. Yom Kippur atones for those averos. What's another interesting case? Rav Tachlifa says, what happens, Rav Osei, if halacha lemaisa, I am chayiv malchus for something. Yom Kippur comes, I didn't yet get my malchus. Simple idea, when do you get malchus? Violation of a lav. So I go ahead and a person goes ahead and wears shatnez. I wear shatnez, I eat treif. So that's the halacha. So I get malchus. Yom Kippur, excuse me, Bezin didn't have an opportunity to administer my malchus yet. So what happens? What does Yom Kippur do to my malchus? Rav Tachlifa says, when Yom Kippur comes, Yom Kippur does not go ahead and wipe out my malchus liability. I'm still chayiv to malchus afterwards. To which the Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious. Why would this be any different than a case of defined carbonic liability? Just like Yom Kippur does not wipe out a carbonic liability that is defined and known, so Yom Kippur wouldn't wipe out Malchus either. I'll tell you why the Gemara says, I would have thought that Yom Kippur doesn't wipe out monetary obligations. It was actually very interesting. A carbon, technically speaking, is a monetary obligation, right? It's a financial obligation. I have to bring an animal worth a certain amount of money to the Beis HaMikdash. That's what Yom Kippur doesn't wipe out. However, halacha lemaisa, malchus, which impacts the guf, that ultimately what Yom Kippur does wipe out. I would have thought that Yom Kippur wipes that out. Kamashman that Yom Kippur doesn't wipe out malchus as well. So therefore, again, the Gemara says over here that so far what we have is Yom Kippur will wipe out averos that are only known to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not known to me. So for our purposes today, what that means is averos for which you would have to bring, or situations in which you'd have to bring an Asham Talui, Yom Kippur will wipe out your Asham Talui obligation. What Yom Kippur will not wipe out are averos you explicitly know about, whether they yield carbonic liability or malchus liability. Ivahan Antanan, Hoda Velo Hoda, Us Ase Velo Sase. Right? So yet we saw, Rabbi, so we learned in Mishnah that Yom Kippur goes ahead and absolves for all different types of averos, to which the Gemara says, Ah, Hada Asrube, Hada Lo Asrube. To which the Gemara says, look at Rashi, Asrube, Deika Malchus, Lo Patra Yom Kippur. If a person received Hasra, right, warning before they committed an avera, and did the avera anyway, and therefore were given malchus, or I should say, were given now have a punishment of malchus over them, Yom Kippur will not wipe that out. But if I did an avera and didn't receive hasra, even though, again, technically speaking, the avera carries the penalty of hasra, that Yom Kippur can atone for. So I'll say, so what we begin to see is this theme. Yom Kippur could atone for almost anything and everything, as long as there is not a defined liability upon me. Once there is a defined liability upon me, whether it's a carbon or whether it is malchus, Yom Kippur cannot wipe that out. That stands even after Yom Kippur. Elamehato. But what about the following? Safek yoleda shavar la Yom Kippurim lo teisei. So listen to this interesting case. Safek yoleda. Remember again, what's the case of safek yoleda? A woman gave birth. So what's the safek? Did she give birth to the type of birth which generates tumas yoledes and all of its accompanying karbanos? Because remember, again, a woman could give birth to something that does not qualify as a leida, and as such will not be liable in all of the different types of karbanos. So a woman gives. So remember, if it's a safek, so a woman will bring certain karbanos out of safek. So safek yoledes shavar al yom kippur lo teisei. So we'll say that's the case in a safek yoledes. Once Yom Kippur comes, halacha lemaisa what? Yom Kippur should do what? Rabbi say, wipe out all of her liability. Why? The kippur al yom kippurim, the chait shein makir ba ela hamakum hu. Because Rabbi say this would be a chait. This would be a chait that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows about. She doesn't know. Was it a leida? Was it not a leida? And therefore, again, halacha lemaisa Yom Kippur should wipe it out. To which the Gemara says, no. Am Rav Oshia lechol chatasam velo lechol tumosam. You're wrong. The carbon that she brings, that the Oledes brings, Rabbi Osei, is not for chait. Ultimately, again, what is it for? It's for tumah. So ultimately, again, Yom Kippur will only wipe out sin offerings. Yom Kippur does not wipe out tumah offerings. I will Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Damar Yoledes Chotasi. So we'll say, according to Rashbi, who holds that a Yoledes is a sinner. I will say, so good. So what does that mean, that a Yoledes is a sinner? I will say, look at Rashi. Bemesechas Nida Perakam Apeles Beshashi Karas Lele Nishbas Shilotizakik Labaila. So we'll say, when a woman is giving birth, she swears that she is never going to do this again. And the this is not just childbirth, the this is intimacy, right? I swear I'm never going to be with my husband again. She says this again in moments of pain. So we'll say that's a shvuas shav, right? That's a shvuas sheker. But whether it's shav or sheker is a discussion. But lamaisa, again, it's a false oath. So therefore Rashbi says that in fact the chatos, because we'll say, remember again, a yoledes brings a chatos. So Rabbi Shema Yochai holds, the chatos is for the false oath that she makes. So I, according to Rashbi, in the case of Safek Yoledes, Yom Kippur should wipe out liability, because it truly only is, remember, it was a Safek Yoledes, so it's only known to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki kamay si karban lishtari ebaki las kachim hu, v'lo l'kapar amasya, to which the Gemara says, at the end of the day, the karban of Yoledes, Rabosai, is not brought for kapara purposes, but ultimately again is brought in order to allow her to go ahead and consume karbanos. So because of that, it truly is lechapara. Excuse me, it truly is letumasam and not lechatasam, and therefore Yom Kippur does not wipe it out. So we'll say salacha lemaisa. If a woman is a safek yoledes, even if she didn't bring her karban before Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur will not wipe out that liability. Next. Amar Rav Ashi, Afana Nami Tanina, Haisha Shiyesh Olachat Hasa'of Safek, V'avar Li Yom Kippurim, Chayeves Lahavi La'achri Yom Kippurim, Mepnei Shemachsharta Lechol B'Svachim. Rabbi says, this is explicit. Rav Ashi says that if a woman is a Safek Yoledes, even if Yom Kippur comes and goes, she still has to bring her karban, because it is not a sin offering, but rather, again, it is to allow her to eat of karbanos. Yom Kippur only wipes out sin liability, does not wipe out tumah liability. Ela me'ata, safek mitzora shavar alav yom kippurim lo maisi. So what's about safek mitzora? So we'll say the case of safek mitzora is, interestingly enough, with certain types of tzaras. So the order in which the different simanim appear determines whether or not the lesion is tzaras or not. So safek mitzora is a case where I don't know the order of the signs. I don't know the order, right? There's discoloration of the hair. There's discoloration of the skin. I don't know the order in which everything happened. So therefore, again, this is a case of Safek Mitzora. So says the Gemara, Safek Mitzora, Shavar La Yom Kippurim Lo Maisi. If you have a Safek Mitzora who went through a Yom Kippur, he shouldn't have to bring his offerings after Yom Kippur. After all, the Ha'avra La Yom Kippur, the Chet Shin Makir Bo Ela HaMakom Hu. Because we'll say at the end of the day, this would seemingly satisfy the criteria of a sin only known by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? The Mitzora does not know, is he a Mitzora or not? To which the Gemara says, l'chol chatasam, l'chol tumasam. To which again, Rabosai, the Gemara answers, no. The offerings of the Mitzora, Rabosai, are not sin offerings, but rather, again, they are to purify the Mitzora so as to allow him to consume from sacrificial items. Yom Kippur does not wipe out such liability. V'ha'amar Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar Rabbi Yonasan, al shiva devarim ligoyim boim. Beit Rabosai, we learned that ultimately, again, Saras comes about because of seven different things. And I will say, those seven different things, ultimately, again, are all averos. Right, Rashi quotes them over here. We have to go through all of them right now. So, kimay mitzora, kimay si lav lechapara maisi. But at the end of the day, the offerings of the mitzora are still not brought for atonement. But ultimately, again, they are only brought so as to allow one to consume sacrificial items. So again, remember, as we said before, Yom Kippur only wipes out karbonos or liabilities that are generated by sin. But things, karbanos that have to be brought for purification purposes, to allow you to eat kachim, to allow you to enter into the Beis HaMikdash, that Yom Kippur does not take care of. Ela me'ata safek nazir shavar lav Yom Kippurim, lo ma'isi karban. Da keeper Yom Kippur, dechid shein makir bo ala hamakum hu. We'll say, what about a safek nazir? Now remember again, what's the case of safek nazir? This is a case of a Nazir who misafek became Tomei. I'm not sure, I'm a Nazir, did I become Tomei or not? Do I have an obligation to restart and to bring all the karbanos or not? So you bring certain karbanos misafek. So the Gemara posits that halacha lemaisa, if you went through a Yom Kippur should wipe out the karbanic liability for a safek Nazir. To which the Gemara says, Am Raboshia l'chol chatas v'lo l'chol tuma. First, why the animal say? Same idea. What does the pasuk say? The pasuk says l'chol chatas. That ultimately, again, what does Yom Kippur wipe out? Yom Kippur wipes out sin liability, not any carbon brought for tuma purposes. Ul Rabbi Elazar ben Akafar d'amar Nazir chotehu. But we'll say, interesting, but according to Elazar ben Akafar, who says that a Nazir is a sinner. So we'll say, remember again, this is a fundamental issue when it comes to Nazirus, right? Is Nazirus a good thing or a bad thing? So Rabbi Elazar ben Akafar is of the opinion that a Nazir is a chote, he's a sinner. Why? What did he do wrong? Rashi says, Shetzir atzmo min hayayin. Ultimately, again, because he went ahead and he deprived himself of wine. As Rabbi Elazar ben Akafar's shita is, there's enough things in Judaism that are already asur. There is no need to make more things asur. So therefore, again, if he went ahead and he deprived himself from wine, that is actually a sin. So, if that's the case, then halacha lamaisa, Yom Kippur should wipe out his karbanic liability, since halacha lamaisa, again, it is of sinful nature, to which the Gemara says, ki kamaisi karban lav l'chaparamaisi, l'shtaruya b'achilas kachimu, ela l'meichal alav nizirus taruhu. But at the end of the day, when the Nazir brings his karban, why is he bringing the karban? It's not for sin purposes, but rather at the end of the day, he's bringing it for what? Ultimately, again, for purification purposes. So we'll say, so again, same theme over and over and over, which is Yom Kippur has the ability to wipe out sin liability, or I should say differently. Yom Kippur has the ability to wipe out sin liability when? When it's only something known to God, not known to man. But if it's a karban, which is going to be brought ultimately for what? For tara purposes, purification purposes, Yom Kippur does not wipe that out. Ella, we'll say third wide line, chavav amud aleph. Ella, me'ata safek sota shavar ala Yom Kippur emlotei say. We'll say, what about safek sota? Safek sota. So we'll say, now, what's the case of safek sota? Every case is safek sota, right? The whole notion of a sota is a woman who may have committed adultery, right? The whole issue is safek. Now, both said it's actually quite fascinating. So remember, you have the following situation. Man warns his wife against being alone with a particular man. She's alone with the man. She's alone with him long enough for something to have occurred. We don't know if something occurred or not. There's a whole process. Part of that process is she brings a karban. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is if Yom Kippur comes kind of in the middle of this process, then what? Yom Kippur should wipe out her sota liability. Because after all, this is incredible. The ha-kippur ala Yom Kippur, the chet she'ino makir bo ala hamakom. After all, this is an Aveira that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. So the obvious kasha on this is what? She knows. So the Rabbeinu Gershom actually, again, it's on the bottom of the previous daf. On the bottom of the previous daf, says something very interesting. He says, V'sota makaras lo kamar mishum di'ihi havichaticha di'isura. So we'll say, this is actually quite fascinating. Her knowledge doesn't come into play over here. Why? Because again, Rabbi Nagir's lashon is she is the chaticha di isura. Ultimately, again, she is the iser, so to speak. She is the davar ha iser. So her knowledge actually doesn't play a part here. Now, hold on to this for just one moment. Amar Abaye boel makir, but Abaye says 1 second. There's a man, right? Remember, again, there's someone else over here involved. So the Boel, the man who she was alone with, does know if something did or did not occur. So we'll say the other opinion that the Rabbeinu Gershom gives is that when the Gemara answers Boel really includes both the man as well as the Sota herself, to which the Gemara is ultimately answering, this is not an Avera only known to God, this is an Avera, or lack thereof, known to people as well. So the Gemara says, Sabomakiva, Rava Amar, Sota Kimasi Levar Avon Kaasya. So Rava says something very interesting. Rava says Sota is different, because the entire carbon of Sota ultimately is what? Levarer Avon. Is there to clarify whether or not something actually occurred. Elamiato. Egla Arufa, Shavala Yom Kippurim. So what's the Rebbe Egla Arufa? So we'll say, so again, all the same cases where I have an obligation of an Egla Arufa, Yom Kippur comes. So shouldn't Yom Kippur wipe out the obligation for an Egla Arufa? Why? If it's the paradigm, what's the paradigm? What does Yom Kippur wipe out? Right? L'chol chat, was the Lashon, mikol chat, tosechem lefnei Hashem. Any chait that only God knows and no one else knows, ultimately, again, is wiped out by Yom Kippur. Egla Arufa is a great example of that, right? We know someone was killed, but what? But what? We don't know who did it. So why doesn't Yom Kippur wipe out that liability? Amar Abaye, Horeg Makir. So Abaye says, ultimately what? The person who killed the murderer knows. Rava Amar Amar Kra, Ula Ares Loichu Parla Damasha Shafach Ba. So we'll say, Rava says that here it's different. Because ultimately, again, you need halacha lemaisa. Look at Rashi, tap Rashi on the left hand side. Varz lo yichupar in lechashum kapara elozu egla arufa ala safek varigas arigala vaday. So I say ultimately again, you need the land itself requires atonement. So because the land itself requires atonement, the carbon cannot be cancelled. The Gemara says, Papa Amar Amar Kra kapar la amcha Yisrael. But I say ultimately again, the lashon of egla arufa is atoned for your nation of Israel. Ru'uya kapara zu shetechaper al yotzei Mitzrayim. Ultimately, again, this kapara has the ability to be mechaper even for those who left Egypt, i.e. even for a corpse that occurred, or a murder that occurred many generations ago. And obviously, even though there are many intervening, you write Yom Kippur's, nevertheless, Yom Kippur doesn't cancel out Egla Arufa obligation. So we'll say, so therefore again, hashta da'amret chet she'in makir ba'ala ha'makom, Yom Kippurim mechaper, Ema, so we'll say, so now here's what we've established. Halacha lemaisa, Yom Kippur wipes out what type of liability? Sin liability, karbonic liability for a sin that only God knows and man does not. But any avera known to man, Yom Kippur does not wipe out where there is defined karbonic liability, or any time where the karbon is brought, not for sin purposes, but what? But what? For purification purposes, Yom Kippur doesn't wipe that out either. To which the Gemara says, "Hashta da amrit chait shein makir bo ela makir mekipur mechaper, ema ki misyadi le bas yom kippur nami lo maisi chatos." We'll say, remember again. Now the Gemara has an incredible kasha. So remember, we'll say how Hashem Talui works. Again, I have two pieces of meat. I eat one of them, right? I know. I then find out afterwards one of them was chaylev, but what? I don't know if the one I ate was chaylev or not. Or not. So what do I do? So I bring in Asham Talui. So the Gemara says something very interesting. So the Gemara explains that what happens if afterwards you find out that in fact what you ate was chaylev, what do? You have to bring a chatos. To which the Gemara says, but I don't understand. So let's analyze this. Let's say I eat one of the two pieces on Rosh Chodesh Elul. So I go ahead and I bring an Asham Talui. Right, Yom Kippur goes by. I find out right after Yom Kippur that in fact I ate chaylev. So the Gemara says, why should I have to bring a chatos? Didn't Yom Kippur absolve me? Yom Kippur should have absolved me from any liability. And even if I find out definitively that I ate chaylev, there should be no need for a chatos. To which the Gemara says, Rav Zira, lo matzis amrit tichsiv kra, yediya gabi chatos, v'gabi nasi, v'gabi tzibor. So let's listen to this. The Torah speaks about knowledge, right? Knowing, right? Definitive knowledge of liability by a karban chatos, by a nasi, and by the tzibor. To which the Gemara says, utzrich, you're supposed to look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, it's on the left-hand side of Rashi, kidichsiv kra, oh hoda gabe yachid v'nasi v'tzibor. Tolotzrichi kulu ikle medrash mechad meharach oh hoda tolotzarech kol imas t'misyadele v'afila achim mekippur. So both say, so the Torah teaches me in three different places that in any one of these cases, by karban chatos, by a nasi, this is talking about the nasi sins, or by the tzibor, the Torah will say once there is a yediyah, Once there is an absolute knowledge, then halacha lemaisa, they must bring a chatos. They must bring a sin offering. To which the Gemara says, now, the Torah did not need to state this concept of yediya in all three contexts. All you need to do is tell me, in one of those contexts, that what? Once there is definitive knowledge of sin, then what? There is defined karbanic liability. Why do you have to state it in all three places? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why you need it. Tzrichi. Because if we would have just said it by individual liability, I would have said that Nasi and Sibur can't be learned out from Yachid. Why not? Because it will say by a Yachid. Yachid is different. Why? Because every carbon that the Yachid brings is always in a keva. That's not true for Tzibur and Nasi. Nichtov gabi nasi v'naisi anach minasi. So just write yediya by nasi, learn everything out from nasi. Yachid minasi lo asi. Digal mifrach mal nasi shekin eina b'shmias kol. So we'll say you can't learn out the yachid from the nasi. Why? Because the nasi is not subject to shmias kol. And we'll say shmias kol is the halacha that if you know testimony for someone, then what? You have an obligation to go ahead and step forward and give it. And if you don't, and you lie, and you say you don't know anything, then what? Halacha lemaaseh, there is liability for that. That does not apply to a king. Why not? Because a king or a nasi is never called to testify. We'll say that's actually quite interesting. A king or a nasi cannot be an aide, which makes sense. Because we'll say, what happens if the king or the nasi comes into court and testifies? We're done. Right? Who's going to, in their right mind, rule against the nasi? Right? So it doesn't. So therefore, again, there's that lack of commonality. So the Gemara says, "V'tzibor mi nasi lo asi." You can't learn tzibor from nasi. Why not? Tikal mifrach malinasi shekem b'kabon in a keva. Because ultimately, again, the nasi is carbon is in a keva. Nichtov gabi tzibor v'naisi yachav v'nasi minei. So we'll say. So just write it by tzibor. And we'll say, remember again, the it is yediya. The concept that you only have to bring a carbon when there is defined knowledge of wrongdoing. Just write it by Tzibor, and I'll learn at Yachid and Nasi from Tzibor. Igal Mifrach Malat Tzibor Shekin In Chayavan Allah Al Ela Al Helam Davar Im Shigas Maisa. But I will say Tzibor is different. Why? Because by Tzibor you're only Chayiv if what? If there was Helam Davar. In other words, the knowledge itself was obscured. I did not know what happened. Together with Shigas Maisa. To which the Gemara says, fine. Nechadi Yediyah Lo Asi. So I can't learn out the obligation or the concept of Yediyah, definitive knowledge to generate carbonic liability from one of these cases, but Tesei Chadi Yediyah Mitarti. So write it by two, and we'll learn out the third from the other two. Lo Nichtov Yediyah Gabi Yachav V'Tesei Minasi. Don't write Yediyah by Yachid and learn out from Nasi V'Tzibor. Ika L'Mifrach, I can bring up here, Chamal Nasi V'Tzibor, Shekin Inam B'Shmias Kol. Right, Paul say both Yachid and Nasi do not have din of Shmias Kol, of liability for withholding testimony. Tomar B'Yachid, Sheshna B'Shmias Kol. Lo Nichtov, bless you. Lo Nichtov, Kray Yediyah Gabi Tzibor. So Paul say, don't write Yediyah by Tzibor. V'Tesim Yediyah Di Yachid V'Nasi. Learn out from the Yachid and Nasi. Ika L'Mifrach, Mal Yachid V'Nasi, Shekin B'Karbana Nekeva, Tomar B'Tzibor, Shein B'Karbana Nekeva. Paul say, Yachid and Nasi both bring female offerings. Tzibor does not. Lo Nichtov Gabi Nasi, V'Tesim Yediyah Di Yachid V'Tzibor. Don't write anything by Nasi and learn it out from Yachid and Tzibor. My parachta, imushum de inam b'shmias kol. If you want to say that the nasi is not subject to shmias kol, the ina chayav and halaham davreshigas yachid yochiach de inam b'shmias kol. The imushum de yesh bechal karban in a keva. And if you want to say that ultimately, again, every carbon has to be in a keva, tzibur yochiach shein karban in a keva. The tzibur will show ultimately again because they bring male offerings. Ad the islahon yediya lo mechayiv. So lamali the kasev yediya gabe nasi. So we'll say. So therefore, we learned out that at the end of the day, you could have learned out yediya of nasi from yachid and sibor. So why does the Torah nevertheless write oh hoda by nasi, which shows that the only time I'm obligated to bring a carbon is when there is definitive knowledge. Emeinu inyan lugufei da asya miyachid v'tzibor. Jose teaches me that if I don't need it for, if I don't need it to teach it, then by Nasi, because Nasi itself could be learned out right? If I don't need it, ultimately I can teach you about Dinam Nasi, because I could have learned it out ultimately from Yachad and Sibor. So it turns out that what? To make a very long story short, three times the Torah says Ohoda, which means that I am liable when I have definitive knowledge. By Yachid, by Tzibor, and by Nasi. I don't need all three, because I could have learned out the liability of Nasi from Yachid and Tzibor. But yet the Torah still says Ohoda by Nasi. If I don't need it by Nasi, then I could use it in a general sense. What does Ohoda teach me? It teaches me that whenever I find out definitively what I did wrong, there will be what? There will be karbonic liability. What case does this specifically refer to? It refers to a situation of where I ate one, just using the case of shtei chatichos, I ate one piece of meat. Afterwards, I find out that it was a safek chalev. I brought an asham talui. Even though Yom Kippur passed, after Yom Kippur, if I find out that what? That the piece that I ate was absolutely chalev, what is the halacha? Ohoda teaches me, I will have to bring a chatos. Even though there was an intervening Yom Kippur, and even though we just said before that what? That Yom Kippur wipes out what? Any averos only known to Hashem and not known to me, which would be this case of shtei chatichos. Nevertheless, Ohoda teaches me that once I do in fact find out what I did wrong, I must take the proper steps and bring a chatos. Abai Omar. So Abai says, no. The truth is, you need the Ohoda by the Tzibor. Why? Because if it wouldn't have said Ohoda by the Tzibor, I could not learn out, excuse me, by Nasi. I would not learn out Nasi from Yachid and Tzibor. Why? Mishum de'ikah lemifrach. Because it will say ultimately again, Yachid and Tzibor do not change. As we'll say, their identities remain the same. The Yachid is always a Yachid, the Tzibor is always a Tzibor. Yet what Tomar Benasi on the base, Tomar Benasi, Shasui Lishtanos. We'll say ultimately again, the Nasi can change. What does it mean the Nasi can change? I will say being a Nasi is not necessarily a guaranteed position for life, right? At the end of the day, if you no longer deserve the leadership position, it can technically be taken from you. But I will say, but interestingly enough, this is actually, if you think about this incredible message, right? You also hear the message, right? Nasi, positions of power and positions of authority come and go. The two things that life can never take from you is the tzibur, is being part of a collective. The tzibur always has its power, no matter what happens, and your individual identity. Your identity as you, Rabosei, is something that you never lose. It doesn't matter how badly you mess up in life. It doesn't matter what mistakes you make. It doesn't matter what wrong turns you make. The individual of a yachid, your personalistic identity, is yours and always yours. Those things are inas v'mishtanos. They never change. Nesius, today you can be king, and tomorrow you could be a commoner. Such is life, right? Such is life. Today you could be successful, tomorrow you could lose that success. All the conferred titles of life and all the conferred positions of grandeur and authority, those come and go. But your place as a part of Klal Yisrael, as a tzibur, and your personalistic identity, those are yours forever. Ela Amra Abayi. So both say, so if that's the case, in Abayi's model, the Ohoda, by Nasi is necessary as well. So if that's the case, he doesn't have an extra Ohoda. If he doesn't have an extra Ohoda, then ultimately, again, where does he learn out the concept that even after Yom Kippur, if I find out that in fact I ate Chelev, I'm still going to have to what? I'm still going to have to go ahead and bring a Chatos. Michti, mitzvos, yalfi mehadadi. So I say Abayi has a Gdereshev of mitzvos. So the Gemara says, "Kevan diyalfi me'adadi lamali dekas of shalosh idios." So I say, so once he has mitzvos. Look at Rashi, right hand side. Mitzvos diyalfi me'adadi yachid v'nasi v'tzibur debekulum k'siv mitzvos diyalfi kulu b'hach gizir shav me'adadi mesachas harius ledavar shechiyavin az don akaris shechiyavah shegas v'chatos hilchach lach milson ami lafu madai. So I say, so actually Abaye learns out the obligation of definitive knowledge to generate karbonic liability by Nasi, Yachid, and Tzibor, or by Gzir Shava Mitzos. If that's the case, Lamali, the cost of Shalosh Yedios. So, Gabi Yachid, the Gabi Nasi, the Gabi Tzibor. So, if that's the case, then why do I need ohoda in all three of those contexts? Im eino inyan legufeyen, dog miri lahon mitzos mitzos ne inyan lehecha de misyadele bas yom kippurim udumai sichatos. So I'll say, so bottom line, Abai actually has not just one extra ohoda, but what? Three extra ohodas. And what do the extra ohodas teach me? That halacha lemaisa, if I find out after Yom Kippur that I definitively did something wrong, halacha lemaisa, I'm going to have to bring a karban chatos. Ema, ki misyad elei bas Yom Kippurim hu demaisi chatos, mishum Yom Kippurim, lav al adein chet kaasi, aval asham talui, dal adein chet kaasi, ema hachanami de mechaper, dechi misyad elei basar, dekamaisi asham talui, lo maisi chatos. So we'll say, so ultimately again, why don't we say that maybe the only time that you have to bring a chatas after Yom Kippur is where what? Where you didn't bring an asham talui beforehand. But maybe where I did already bring an asham talui, Yom Kippur should in fact wipe out subsequent chatas liability. Amarava, amarkra, ohoda ilav michol makom. The pasuk says, ohoda teaches me, wherever there is subsequent defined or definitive knowledge about wrongdoing, I will have to bring a karban chatos. So we'll say, so again, the way the Gemara is ending off over here is really something quite fascinating. So just to build on this construct, part one of the construct is, what does Yom Kippur take care of? Right? What does Yom Kippur take care of? Mikol chatos seichem lifnei Hashem. Any avera that what? That only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, but I don't know about. For our purposes, Rabbi will say, what does that cover? That covers pretty much anything that you would bring in Asham Talui for. So remember again, when do you bring in Asham Talui? Where there's the possibility I did something wrong, but I don't know for sure that I did something wrong. To which the Pasuk then teaches me, bring your Asham Talui, and Yom Kippur takes care of the rest. Except when subsequently I find out that I actually did something wrong. So also, just to give you the timeline over here, I have two pieces of meat in front of me. I eat one of them. After I ate it, I found out that what? One of them was chalev. What's my problem? I don't know which one I ate. What do? I bring in asham talui. Yom Kippur comes. What occurs in Abbasah and this cheshbon? What does Yom Kippur do? Yom Kippur absolves me of the rest of the liability. So for all intents and purposes, this situation is closed. Unless, of course, I subsequently find out after Yom Kippur that in fact I did eat chalev. In this case, now I will have to bring a chatos. What about Yom Kippur? So apparently, when we see that Yom Kippur takes care ultimately again of Averus Alekhadosh Baruch Hu, who knows about, that presupposes that I have no further clarity about the event. But if I do have further clarity about the event, i.e. I know that I sinned, then halacha l'maisa, I will have to bring a chatas. Pretty incredible. Hasha de Amar, ki misyadi le'maisi chatas, asham talei lamaba. But again, I will say, then let's go back for just a moment. I don't understand. So if you're going to tell me that once I find out that I definitely ate chalev, then what? I'm going to have to bring a chatas. Then what? What's the ad yishayla? Why even bring the Asham Talmud? Why not just wait? In other words, Rabbi says, so you have to understand something. Effectively, what's occurring over here, Rabbi says, I am bringing two karbanos for one act, one little piece of chalev. I'm going to bring an Asham Talmud, and then later on, I'm going to bring a chatas. Not only that, but even Yom Kippur doesn't absolve me of chatas liability. So why do I bring the Asham Talmud altogether? I'm Rabbi Zeira, she'emes meis below avon. Rabbi says, you know why I bring the Asham Talmud? Because in the event that I die, I want to die innocent. They will say, wow, what a way to look at things. Right? If I die, we will say, what does this tell you? We will say, so what this tells you is, we never know when we leave this world. And therefore, b'chol eis, as Shlomo HaMelech writes, b'chol eis yu b'gadecha lebanim. Make sure your clothing is white at all times. A person has to be in a constant state of tshuva. Do not leave anything for tomorrow. Because to be honest, without being morose, you don't know if you have a tomorrow. We don't know what's going to come. So what Asham Talui does, or what Asham Talui does, according to Bizera, is Asham Talui takes care of you. It covers you. That if Chas V'Shalom, the person should die before there is a clarification of circumstances, halacha l'maisa, the sin has been addressed. We'll say it's such an incredible mussar. such an incredible mussar. We often think, we often kind of kick the tshuva can down the road because there's plenty of time to get things in order. If something has to be fixed or remedied, the time to do it is now, because I don't know what happens tomorrow. I don't know what happens in the next minute. Allah Amar Rava, La Hagin Allah Minai. So Gemara says, Maskev La Rava, Mace Misim Marakis. We've got to answer for everything. Don't worry about that. If you die, no problem. I mean, no problem, so to speak. Right? Death is a form of atonement as well. We'll say, meaning death itself atones. So death itself will atone for the Safek Avera. To which the Gemara says, you're right, Allah Amar Rava, La Hagin Allah Minai Yisurin. We'll say, the Asham Talui is there to protect me from punishment. So Halacha L'maaseh, wherever there's chait, there's punishment. So we'll say, the Asham Talui is like my umbrella. It's the shield against punishment. Chata Safavala Safek Amara. So we'll say, listen to this. What was the next case in the Mishnah? Chatas. Remember, the next case in the Mishnah, we'll say, was a situation of Chata Sa'uf that is brought out Safek. So remember, again, this was a situation where the Chata Sa'uf was brought. Chata Sa'uf Sheba Asafek Va'avra Yom Kippurim Chayav Eslavi Acher Yom Kippurim Neshi Me'achshar Eslecho B'Zvachim. So I'll say, remember again, this is a case of Chata Sa'uf. I have an obligation of Chata Sa'uf Misafek, which would be the case of simple cases, Yolades. Even though Yom Kippur comes and goes, Halacha L'maaseh, she still has to bring the Chata Sa'uf. Why? Because we'll say that's not a sin offering. Rather, what is that? That's ultimately an offering that allows her to partake of karbanos. Remember, as we said before, Yom Kippur only wipes out what? Sin liability. Does not wipe out kapara liability. Tara liability. To which the Gemara says, Chata Sa'uf Abala Safek Amarav V'Chiper. So we'll say, so remember again, the Mishnah also said, I'm sorry, let me read you the exact case. The Mishnah also said, Chatas ha'of haba ala safek, im mishenim laka no dati kaber. So we'll say, this was the case over here, of where a woman was bringing a chatas ha'of ala safek. After they did malika, so noda, it became known. They're both saying, now what became known, we're going to see in just a moment. But the Mishnah says, Tikaber, what do you do with the bird carcass? You go ahead and you bury it. In other words, the Kohanim do not eat it, you bury it. To which the Gemara says, but nevertheless, Amarav, V'chiper, but I will say, Halacha L'maisa, her kapara ultimately again is complete. If that's the case, that her kapara is complete, Rabbi, that means it's a bona fide carbon. If it's a bona fide carbon, why does it have to be buried? Let the Kohanim eat it. Ultimately, again, why Rabbi Osai? Because it was not guarded properly. Take a look at Rashi on the right hand side, about five lines in the short lines. Shena Mishtameres, Kevandala Safik Ba, Velo La Achila Havakaima, Lo Shamra Yafer. Rabbi Osai, since this carbon was being brought, Alts Safik to begin with, therefore what? The Kohanim knew they were never going to eat it. Because they knew they were never going to eat it, they did not watch over it properly. And because, we'll say, when it comes to karbanos, karbanos cannot have a hesech hadas. The Kohen's mind must be on the karban at all times. If there's any hesech hadas, lapse of awareness, then we'll say, what happens? Their carbon cannot be consumed. They're both saying, I just want to point out something fascinating. Do you know that we have a contemporary allusion to this? Where do you have this? They're both saying, by Afikoman. Right? Halacha L'maaseh, what do we do by Tzafun? We go ahead and we break the matzah in half. And okay, the kids take part of it, but part of it remains with the Bala Seder. Where does it remain with the Bala Seder? He hides it away. I'll say, why does he hide it away? The Beis Halevi writes, that's because it is representative of a carbon. He hides it away so that there should not be a hesech hadas. He puts it away. Ultimately, again, there should be no lapse of awareness about the carbon. He puts it away so that it's mishtamer. It's guarded. An incredible, incredible remembrance of the Beis HaMikdash of Karbanos. Amos lo mishtamer. So what does that mean? It wasn't guarded. Imei kara, if you turn from the beginning, chayavi, the bird was alive. Ila basof, if it's after it's slaughtered, kamintala, it is mishtameres. Ella, so I'll say, rather, what's the case in the Mishnah? Masnisin benodala deloyalda. We'll say, what's the case of the Mishnah? The case of the Mishnah is a woman who has a Safek Leida. She brought the carbon alt Safek. They did Malika, and then after Malika, they found out that what? She did not have a proper birth. In other words, it wasn't a birth. So in other words, Rabbi will say, this carbon was unnecessary. Obedinhu dimutaris ba'ana. And in reality, the bird itself should be mutar ba'ana. Almighty cover. What does it mean? It should be buried. Midirabanan. I will say the Rabbanan said we want you to bury this bird, right? Midirabanan. V'chi itmar derav. And Rav's statement ultimately was when ala isha shevi'e chatas of b'safek. It's talking about a situation of a woman who brought chatas of b'safek. Imachlo nimlaka no dala sheyalda. If before Malika was done, it turns out sheyalda vaday that she definitely gave birth. No problem. Te'asa vaday. Ultimately, again, let the bird be offered up as a definitive carbon. Why? Shemin shevia alohoda mevia alhoda. Because Rabbi says it's the same offering. The same offering that you bring for a vade leida is the same offering you bring for a suffik leida. So Rabbi says, so if they find out, so remember, she's bringing a chatas off misafik. If they find out before Malika that she definitely gave birth, wonderful. Just go through it to carbon. It's the same exact carbon. What happens if after Malika they find out that in fact she did give birth definitively? Amarav maza dema umote dema vikapara muteres bachila. So I'll say, so what happens if they find out that she definitely gave birth after Malika? No problem. Finish off the bird service, squeeze the blood, sprinkle the blood, and the bird itself is muter bachila to the kohanim. But Rabbi Yochanan says no, asura bachila. Rabbi Yochanan says, in that case where her status only became definitively known after Malika, the bird itself is Asr Ba'achila. Why? Gezerah Shema Yomru, Chatas Ha'of Ha'ba Ala Safek Ne'echelas. Because we'll say they're concerned that if we allow you to eat it in that case, what's going to happen? People will assume that every Chatas Ha'of that is brought Al Safek is Mutter Ba'achila. Because remember again, we'll say, when does her status only become known? When does it become known? When? After what? Only after the Malika. If we allow the Kohanim to eat that bird, there's a concern that people will always assume that Chata Sa'of that has brought Al Safek is Motar Ba'achiva. So Tani Levi Kavase Derav. So we'll say fundamental machlokes. If at the end of the day, it becomes known, right? It becomes known that it's a Vade Chata Sa'of, are the Kohanim permitted to eat it if her status became known after Malika? So Tana Levi Kavase Derav. So Levi quoted a Bryce Kohanim Rabbos, we'll just finish the Mishnah. Chata Sa'of Abal Asafek. If you bring a Chata Sa'of Al Safek, or is Safek Yoledes, Safek Nat Yoledes, Im Mishanim Lakano De Sheyolda Vadai. So we'll say ultimately again, if after Malika occurred, it turns out that what? That she knows that she definitely gave birth, that she gave birth. So we'll say, first opinion says, even if after Malika turns out that halacha lemaisa, she went ahead and she definitely gave birth, no problem. It's a regular carbon, and the kohanim could eat the bird. Tanya kavase Rabbi Yochanan, chatasav avala safek imachlo nimlaka no dala shlo yalda. We'll say a brisa that's like Rabbi Yochanan, chatasav that is brought ala safek, and what? If they did not know her status before Malika, and what? Achlo nimlaka no dala shlo yalda. And then after, right, if Malika didn't yet occur, so we'll say then they find out that she did not give birth. No problem. Teisi l'chulin, oti makel l'chaverta. No problem. We'll say the bird becomes chulin. Imach lo nimlaka, but if halach l'maisa, again, imach lo nimlaka, no de la sheyalda, if before Malika occurs, she finds out that what? That she definitely did give birth, then te'asai vadai. Shemin shemavia lo hoda, mevia al hoda. However, in Mishin Nimlaka no de Shiyalda, but if Halach Lamaisa only after Malika she finds out that she had a definitive birth, Asura Afila Ba'ana. In that case, ultimately again it is Asur, even Ba'ana. Why? Shall Safek Ba Mitchila Kapra Sveka Vahachala. Because I will say once Malika is done, ultimately again the carbon has been offered. This carbon was brought Al Safek. Once it was brought Al Safek, the job was done, it was brought. But it becomes Asr Ba'achila. Rabbi say, so fundamental machlokis about what happens if Malika was done Misafik, does it become, and then she finds out about her status as a definitive Yoledes, can she eat the carbon or not? Subject to machlokis, well, she see the halacha lemaisa, and we are at Hashem tomorrow. Shkach Mosah.